Phrase. The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays, a series of famous plays selected to show the development of drama from the sunrise performances in ancient Athens down to the contemporary theater. The drama always has been a vital and moving force in portraying the life of a people. Since the rites of the Druids and the theaters of the Greeks, this medium of cultural expression, holding a mirror up to life, as it were, has enriched the cultural life of the people. Before the advent of radio, presentations of dramatic works were limited to the few who could gather to see them in theater, Chautauqua, tent, or showboat. But today, through the magic of radio and its development under the American system, drama has come to be a vital force in almost 30 million homes throughout this land. We are privileged to have with us Mr. Burns Mantle, outstanding American drama critic and known throughout the country for his yearly volume of Broadway's Best Plays. He will act as commentator at today's production of Dr. Faustus. Mr. Mantle.
Fellow playgoers, our march of great plays brings us this week back to England and, in a sense, to the very birth of the English-speaking drama as it has come down to us. The tragical history of Dr. Faustus was the first drama to be written in an acceptable blank verse, and Christopher Marlowe, its author, was the most gifted of a small band of playwrights who were Shakespeare's immediate predecessors. Shakespeare and Marlowe were born in the same year, Marlowe in February, Shakespeare the following April in 1564. Both were sons of humble parents, but Marlowe had considerable advantage in the way of education. The son of a shoemaker, either his father or a favored patron managed to make it possible for him to go to college. While Will Shakespeare was struggling along obscurely and playing hooky frequently from village schools in Stratford, Kit Marlowe took both a bachelor's and a master's degree at Cambridge and won renown as a Latin scholar. Frequently, a man's weaknesses are a humanizing influence in the consideration of his contribution to literature, especially a few hundred years later. Young Marlowe was a hot-headed youth, a founder of a cafe society of his own, and what is known as a lover of life. But he also was an independent thinker, and there is no doubt that his story of Faustus grew from his interest in the theories of Faustus Socinus, an early Italian philosopher who had had the temerity to deny most of the contentions of the theologians of that day. In his rebellion against religious drama and religious dogma, Marlowe kept company with such notable personalities as the Earl of Oxford and the Sir Walter Raleigh. Where the independence of his thinking and the brilliance of his writing might have led him, there is no saying. Having little, if any, sense of humor, Marlowe was quick in his resentments. Even in those days, it was not uncommon for friends to quarrel over a dinner check. This happened to Marlowe. When he was 29, he was stabbed to death in an inn at Deptford following such a quarrel, and his assailant was acquitted on evidence of self-defense. As a poet, Marlowe's mighty line was the despair of his contemporaries and the glory of his admirers. His success with blank verse virtually established the use of that verse form in dramatic writing. He defied many of the rules of Aristotle and wrote freely as the spirit moved him. Unlike the later metaphysical Faust of Goethe, explains James Church, who has prepared and will direct this radio adaptation of the play, Marlowe's Faustus is the story of a virile Elizabethan middle-class citizen. Given all-embracing power, he desires to go no further than the satisfaction of all the appetites of a bourgeois Londoner of his time. So the play must be looked upon as an interpretation of the aspirations of a man who was at once a cobbler's son, a divinity student, and a famous atheist, as the term was then used. Here, continues Mr. Church, was a man who thought when thinking was dangerous, but he also knew his craft as a playwright. So now we will go on to the Rose Theater, the first theater known to have been built on the Bankside in London. There we will find places in a building that, according to Henslow, was wood, round, and open to the sky in the middle, but with a thatched roof over the galleries. But first, let's stop a moment to listen to two honest playgoers trying hard to make up their minds.
How now, Will Weaver? What make you on the Bankside?
I make a holiday. This afternoon, my master calls me to him. William, says he, I'm off to Plymouth. A Dutch ship's come in. Be mindful of your interests and look to the shop.
Tis well looked to, Sir Apprentice. Your master's shop is on the other side of the Thames.
Indeed, I looked to it and closed it. Then hied me to the river, paid the waterman, crossed the Thames, and now I'm of a mind to see the play.
The Rose is an elegant playhouse, and so built that you can see from all parts of it. New and round as an egg. And if we tarry here, we shall be late for Henslow's play.
And too late to hire a stool. Then we'll stand for 2 long hours.
And eat your bag of cheese and bread without so much as your lap for table.
Pay your tuppence here. Now you, I said tuppence. 1 penny more.
Master Henslow, we've always paid but 1 penny.
Aye, gentlemen. Always for an old play. Today, Henslow's Rose plays a new tragedy from the pen of Christopher Marlowe.
Kit Marlowe, who wrote Tamburlaine?
Aye, the same.
What's the new play called?
The Tragical History of Dr. Faustus. You should be frightened by more wondrous sights than ever before appeared on the English stage.
Murders? Hangings?
More gruesome. Devils rising from the most, deepermost regions of hell. Your tuppence, sirs. I'm in with you.
Alan, in Marlowe's play at Henslow's Rose. Well worth tuppence.
Not marching now in fields of Thrasymene, where Mars did make the Carthaginians, nor sporting in the dalliance of love in courts of kings where state is overturned, nor in the pomp of proud audacious deeds intends our muse to vaunt her heavenly verse. Only this, gentlemen, we must perform the form of Faustus' fortunes, good or bad. To patient judgments we appeal our plaud, and speak for Faustus in his infancy. Now is he born. His parents base of stock in Germany, within a town called Rhodes. Of riper years, to Württemberg he went, whereas his kinsmen chiefly brought him up. So soon he profits in divinity, the fruitful plot of scholarism graced, that shortly he was graced with doctor's name, excelling all whose sweet delight disputes in heavenly matters of theology. Till swoln with cunning of a self-conceit, his waxen wings did mount above his reach, and melting, heavens conspired his overthrow. For falling to a devilish exercise, and glutted now with learning's golden gifts, he surfeits upon cursed necromancy. Nothing so sweet as magic is to him, which he prefers above his chiefest bliss. And this the man that in his study sits.
Settle thy studies, Faustus, and begin to sound the depth of that thou wilt profess. Having commenced, be a divine and show, yet level at the end of every art, and live and die in Aristotle's works. Sweet Analyticus, as thou hast ravished me, bene disserere est finis logices. Is to dispute well logic's chiefest end? Affords this art no greater miracle? Then read no more. Thou hast attained that end. A greater subject fitteth Faustus wit. When all is done, divinity is best. Jerome's Bible, Faustus, view it well. Stipendium peccati mors est. Ah. Stipendium peccati mors est. The reward of sin is death. That's hard. Si peccasi negamus, fallemur, et nulla est in nobis veritas. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there's no truth in us. Why then belike we must sin, and so consequently die? Aye, we must die an everlasting death. What doctrine call you this? Que sera, sera, what will be, shall be. Divinity, adieu. Ah. These metaphysics of magicians and necromantic books are heavenly. Lines, circles, scenes, letters, and characters. Aye, these are those that Faustus most desires. Oh, what a world of profit and delight. Of power, of honor, of omnipotence is promised to the studious artisan. All things that move between the quiet poles shall be at my command. Emperors and kings are but obeyed in their several provinces, nor can they raise the wind or rend the clouds. But his dominion that exceeds in this stretcheth as far as doth the mind of man. A sound magician is a mighty god. Here, Faustus, tire thy brains to gain a deity. Wagner, commend me to my dearest friends, the German Valdis and Cornelius. Request them earnestly to visit.
I will, sir.
Their conference will be a greater help to me than all my labors. Plod I ne'er so fast.
Oh, Faustus, lay thy damned book aside and gaze not on it, lest it tempt thy soul and heap God's heavy wrath upon thy head. Read the scriptures. That is blasphemy.
Oh, forward, Faustus, in that famous art wherein all nature's treasure is contained. Be thou on earth as Jove is in the sky, lord and commander of these elements.
How am I glutted with conceit of this? Shall I make spirits fetch me what I please? Resolve me of all ambiguities? Perform what desperate enterprise I will? I'll have them fly to India for gold, ransack the ocean for orient pearl, and search all corners of the new-found world for pleasant fruits and princely delicates. I'll have them read me strange philosophy and tell the secrets of all foreign kings. Come, German Valdes and Cornelius, and make me blessed with your sage conference. Valdes, sweet Valdes and Cornelius, know that your words have won me at the last to practice magic and concealed arts.
Faustus, these books, thy wit and our experience, shall make all nations to canonize us. As Indian Moors obey their Spanish lords, so shall the spirits of every element be always serviceable to us three, if learned Faustus will be resolute.
Valdes, as resolute am I in this as thou to live, therefore object it not.
The miracles that magic will perform will make thee vow to study nothing else. He that is grounded in astrology, enriched with tongues, well seen in minerals, hath all the principles magic doth require. Then doubt not, Faustus, but to be renowned, and more frequented for this mystery than heretofore the Delphian oracle.
Oh, this cheers my soul. Come, show me some demonstrations magical, that I may conjure in some lusty grove, and have these joys in full possession.
Then haste thee to some solitary grove, and hear wise Bacon's and Albertus' words. The Hebrew Psalter and New Testament, and whatsoever else is requisite, we will inform thee ere our conference cease.
All this, first let him know the words of art, and then all other ceremonies learned, Faustus may try his cunning by himself.
First I'll instruct thee in the rudiment, and then wilt thou be perfecter than I.
Then come and dine with me, and after meat we'll canvass every quiddity thereof. For ere I sleep, I'll try what I can do. This night I'll conjure, though I die, therefore. Now that the gloomy shadow of the earth, longing to view Orion's drizzling look, leaps from the Antarctic world into the sky, and dims the welkin with her pitchy breath, Faustus, begin thine incantations. And try if devils will obey thy hest, seeing thou hast prayed and sacrificed to them. Within this circle is Jehovah's name, forward and backward anagrammatized, the abbreviated names of holy saints, figures of every adjunct to the heavens, and characters of signs and erring stars, by which the spirits are enforced to rise. Then fear not, Faustus, but be resolute, and try the uttermost magic can perform. Sint mihi dehi acrontis propidii, qualiat numen triplex jehoae, ignei aeri aquitani spiritus salvete, orientis princeps Belzebub, infernia dentis monarca et demogorgon propitiamos quos, ut appareat et surgat natis habilis, ut tumeraris, per Jehovah. I charge thee to return and change my shape. Thou art too ugly to attend on it. Go and return an old Franciscan friar. That holy shape becomes a devil best. Oh, I
there's virtue in my heavenly words. Who would not be proficient in this art? How pliant is this Mephistopheles, full of obedience and humility. Such is the force of magic and my spells. No, Faustus, thou art conjurer laureate that canst command great Mephistopheles. Quin regis Mephistopheles, fratris imagine.
Now, Faustus,
what wouldst thou have me do? I charge thee wait upon me whilst I live, to do whatever Faustus shall command, be it to make the moon drop from her sphere, or the ocean to overwhelm the world.
I am a servant to great Lucifer. May not follow thee without his leave. No more than he commands must we perform.
Did not he charge thee to appear to me?
No. I came hither of mine own account.
Did not my conjuring speeches raise thee? Speak.
That was the cause. But yet per accident, for when we hear one wreck the name of God, abjure the scriptures and his savior Christ, we fly in hope to get his glorious soul. Nor will we come unless he use such means whereby he is in danger to be damned. Therefore the shortest cut for conjuring is stoutly to abjure the Trinity and pray devoutly to the Prince of Hell.
So Faustus hath already done and holds this principle. There is no chief but only Beelzebub, to whom Faustus doth dedicate himself. This word damnation terrifies not him, for he confounds hell in Elysium. His ghost be with the old philosophers. But leaving these vain trifles of men's souls, tell me, what is that Lucifer, thy lord?
Arch-regent and commander of all spirits.
Was not that Lucifer an angel once?
Yes, Faustus, and most dearly loved of God.
How comes it then that he is prince of devils?
Oh, by aspiring pride and insolence, for which God threw him from the face of heaven.
And what are you that live with Lucifer?
Unhappy spirits that fell with Lucifer, conspiring against our God with Lucifer, and are forever damned with Lucifer.
Where are you damned?
In hell.
How comes it then that thou art out of hell?
Why, this is hell, nor am I out of it. Thinkst thou that I, who saw the face of God and tasted the eternal joys of heaven, am not tormented with 10,000 hells in being deprived of everlasting bliss? Strike a terror to my fainting soul.
What is great Mephistopheles so passionate for being deprived of the joys of heaven? Learn thou of Faustus' manly fortitude, and scorn those joys thou never shalt possess. Go, bear these tidings to great Lucifer. Seeing Faustus hath incurred eternal death by desperate thoughts against Jove's deity, say he surrenders up to him his soul. So he will spare him 24 years, letting him live in all voluptuousness. Having thee ever to attend on me, to give me whatsoever I shall ask, to tell me whatsoever I demand, to slay mine enemies and aid my friends, and always be obedient to my will. Go and return to mighty Lucifer, and meet me in my study at midnight, and then resolve me of thy master's mind.
I will, Faustus.
Had I as many souls as there be stars, I'd give them all for Mephistopheles. By him I'll be great emperor of the world. Now that I have obtained what I desired, I'll live in speculation of this art till Mephistopheles return again. Now, Faustus, must thou needs be damned, and canst thou not be saved? What boots it then to think of God or heaven? Away with such vain fancies and despair. Despair in God and trust in Beelzebub. Now go not backward. No, Faustus, be resolute. Why waverest thou? Oh, something soundeth in mine ears. Abjure this magic. Turn to God again. I and Faustus will turn to God again. To God, he loves thee not. The God thou servest is thine own appetite, wherein is fixed the love of Beelzebub. To him I'll build an altar and a church, and offer lukewarm blood of newborn babes.
Sweet Faustus, leave that execrable art.
Contrition,
prayer, repentance, what of them?
Oh, their means to bring thee unto heaven, rather illusions. Fruits of lunacy that make men foolish, that do trust them most.
Sweet Faustus, think of heaven and heavenly things.
No, Faustus, think of honor
and of wealth.
Of wealth? Why, the seigniory of Emden shall be mine. When Mephistopheles shall stand by me, what god can hurt thee, Faustus? Thou art safe. Cast no more doubts. Come, Mephistopheles, and bring glad tidings from great Lucifer. It's not midnight. Come, Mephistopheles. Veni, veni, Mephistopheles! Now tell me, what says Lucifer, my lord?
That I shall wait on Faustus while he lives, though he will buy my service with his soul.
Already Faustus hath hazarded that for thee.
But Faustus, thou must bequeath it solemnly, and write a deed of gift with thine own blood. For that security craves great Lucifer. Thou deny it. I will back to hell.
Stay, Mephistopheles, and tell me, what good will my soul do thy lord?
Enlarge his kingdom.
Is that the reason why he tempts us thus?
Salam and miseris. Sopius, have you say. Dolores.
Why, have you any pain that torture others?
As great as have the human souls of men. But tell me, Foster, shall I have thy soul? I will be thy slave and wait on thee and give thee more than thou hast wit to ask.
Aye, Mephistopheles, I give it thee.
Then, Faustus, stab thy arm courageously and bind thy soul that at some certain day great Lucifer may claim it as his own. And then be thou as great as Lucifer.
Lo, Mephistopheles, for love of thee I cut mine arm, and with my proper blood assure my soul to be great Lucifer's, chief lord and regent of perpetual night. View here the blood that trickles from mine arm, and let it be propitious for my wish.
But Faustus, thou must write it in manner of a deed of gift.
Aye, so I will. Faustus gives to thee. But, Mephistopheles, my blood congeals and I can write no more.
I'll fetch thee fire to dissolve its strength.
What might the staying of my blood portend? Is it unwilling I should write this bill? Why streams it not that I may write afresh? Faustus gives to thee his soul. Aye, there it stayed. Why should thou not? Is not thy soul thine own? Then write again. Faustus gives to thee his soul.
Here's fire. Come, Faustus, set it on.
So now the blood begins to clear again. Now will I make an end immediately.
Oh, what will I not do to obtain his soul?
Consummatum est. This bill is ended, and Faustus hath bequeathed his soul to Lucifer. Ah, but what is this inscription on mine arm? Homo fuge. Whither should I fly? If unto God, he'll throw me down to hell. My senses are deceived. There's nothing writ. Oh, I see it plain. Here is the place is writ. Homo fuge. Yet shall not Faustus fly. Here, Mephistopheles, retrieve this scroll. The deed of gift of body and of soul. And yet conditionally that thou perform all articles prescribed between us both.
Faustus, I swear by hell and Lucifer to effect all promises between us made.
Then hear me read them. On these following conditions. First, that Faustus may be a spirit in form and substance. Secondly, that Mephistopheles shall be his servant and at his command. Thirdly, that Mephistopheles shall do for him and bring him whatsoever he desires. Fourthly, that he shall be in his chamber or house invisible. Lastly, that he shall appear to the said John Faustus at all times, in what form or shape soever he please. I, John Faustus of Wurttemberg, doctor by these presents, do give both body and soul to Lucifer, Prince of the East, and his minister Mephistopheles, and furthermore grant unto them that 24 years being expired, the articles above written inviolate, full power to fetch or carry the said John Faustus, body and soul, flesh, blood, or goods, into their habitation wheresoever, by me, John Faustus.
Speak, Faustus. You deliver this as your deed.
I take it and the devil give thee good on't.
Now, Faustus, ask what thou wilt.
First, let me have a wife, the fairest maid in Germany. For I am wanton and lascivious, and I cannot live without a wife.
How? A wife? I prithee, Faustus, talk not of a wife.
Nay, sweet Mephistopheles, fetch me one, for I will have
Tut,
one.
Faustus, marriage is but a ceremonial toy. If thou lovest me, think no more of it. I'll call thee out the fairest courtesans, and bring them every morning to thy bed. She whom thine eye shall like, thy heart shall have. Be as chaste, she as Penelope, as wise as Saba, or as beautiful as was bright Lucifer before his fall. Hold. Take this book. Peruse it thoroughly. The iterating of these lines brings gold. The framing of this circle on the ground bring whirlwinds, tempests, thunder, and lightning. Pronounce this thrice. Devoutly to thyself. And men in armor shall appear to thee, ready to execute whatever soul thou desirest.
Thanks, Mephistopheles. But fain would I have a book wherein I might behold all spells and incantations, that I might raise up spirits when I please.
Here they are, in this book.
Now would I have a book where I might see all characters and planets of the heavens, that I might know their motions and dispositions.
Here they are, too.
Nay, let me have one more book, and then I have done, wherein I might see all plants, herbs, and trees that grow upon the earth.
Here they be.
Oh, thou art deceived.
I warrant thee.
When I behold the heavens, then I repent and curse thee, wicked Mephistopheles, because thou hast deprived me of those joys.
Why, Faustus, thinkst thou heaven is such a glorious thing? I tell it is not half so fair as thou, or any man that breathes on earth.
How provest thou that?
It was made for man, therefore is man more excellent.
If it were made for man, it was made for me. I will renounce this magic and repent.
Faustus, repent. Yet God will pity thee.
Thou art a spirit. God cannot pity thee.
Who buzzeth in mine ears? I am a spirit. Be I a devil, yet God may pity me. Aye, God will pity me if I repent.
Aye, but Faustus never shall repent.
Oh, my heart so hardened, I cannot repent. Scarce can I name salvation, faith, or heaven, but fearful echoes thunder in mine ears. Faustus, thou art damned. Then swords and knives, poison, guns, halters, and envenomed steel are laid before me to dispatch myself. And long ere this I would have slain myself had not sweet pleasure conquered deep despair. Have I not made blind Homer sing to me of Alexander's love and Enon's death? And hath not he that built the walls of Thebes with ravishing sound of his melodious harp made music with my Mephistopheles? Why should I die then or basely despair? I am resolved. Faustus shall ne'er repent. Tell me, who made the world?
I will not.
Sweet Mephistopheles, tell me.
Move me not, for I will not tell thee.
Villain, have I not bound thee to tell me anything?
Aye, that is not against our kingdom. But this is, think thou of hell, for thou art damned.
Think, Faustus, upon God that made the world.
Remember this.
I go, accursed spirit, to ugly hell. It is thou hast damned this blessed Faustus' soul. It is not too late.
Too late.
Never too late. If Faustus can repent.
If thou repent, devils shall tear thee in pieces.
Repent, and they shall never raise thy skin.
Ah, Christ, my Savior, seek to save distressed Faustus' soul.
Christ cannot save thy soul, for he is just. There's none but I have interest in the same.
Oh, who art thou that looks so terrible?
I am Lucifer. And this is my companion, Prince in Hell.
Oh, Faustus, they are come to fetch away thy soul.
We come to tell thee thou dost injure us. Thou talkst of Christ, contrary to thy promise. Thou shouldst not think of God. Think of the devil, and of his dam, too.
Nor will I henceforth. Pardon me in this, and Faustus vows never to look to heaven. Never to name God or pray to him. To burn his scriptures, slay his ministers, and make my spirits pull his churches down.
Do so, and we will highly gratify thee. Faustus, we are come from hell to show thee some pastime. Sit down, and thou shalt see all the seven deadly sins appear in their proper shapes.
That sight will be as pleasing unto me as paradise was to Adam, the first day of his creation.
Talk not of paradise nor creation, but mark this show. Talk of the devil and nothing else. Come away. Thou, Faustus, examine them of their several names and dispositions.
What art thou, the first?
I am pride. I disdain to have any parents. I am like to Ovid's glee. I can creep into every corner of a wench. Sometimes, like a periwig, I sit upon her brow, or like a fan of feathers, I kiss her lips. Indeed, I do. What do I not? Oh, but fie, what a scent is here. I'll not speak another word except the ground were perfumed and covered with cloth of arras.
What art thou, the second?
I am covetousness, begotten of an old churl in an old leathern bag. And might I have my wish, I would desire that this house and all the people in it were turned to gold, that I might lock you up in my good chest. Oh, sweet gold.
What art thou, the third?
I am Roth. I had neither father nor mother. I leapt out of a lion's mouth when I was scarce half an hour old. And ever since I have run up and down the world with this case of rapier, wounding myself when I had nobody to fight withal. I was born in hell, and look to it, for some of you shall be my father.
What art thou, the fourth?
I am envy, begotten of a chimney sweep and an oyster wife. I cannot read, and therefore wish all books were burnt. I am lean with seeing others eat. Oh, that there would come a famine through all the world, that all might die, and I live alone. Then thou shouldst see how fat I would be. But must thou sit and I stand? Come down with a vengeance.
Away, envious rascal.
What art thou, the fifth?
Why, sir, I am gluttony. My parents are all dead, and the devil a penny they have left me but a bare pension, and that is 30 meals a day and 10 bevers, a small trifle to suffice nature. Oh, I come of a royal parentage. My grandfather was a gammon of bacon. My grandmother a hogshead of claret wine. My godfathers were these, Peter Pickle Herring and Martin Martlemas Beef. Oh, but my godmother, she was a jolly gentlewoman and well-beloved in every good town and city. Her name was Mistress Marjorie Marchbeer. Now, Faustus, thou hast heard all my progeny. Wilt thou bid me to supper?
No, I'll see thee hanged. Thou wilt eat up all my victuals.
Then the devil choke thee.
Choke thyself, glutton.
What art thou, the sixth?
I am Sloth. I was begotten on a sunny bank where I have lain ever since. And you have done me great injury to bring me from thence. Let me be carried thither again by gluttony and lechery. I'll not speak another word for a king's ransom.
To you, Mistress Minx, the seventh and last.
Who? I, sir? I am one that loved an inch of raw mutton better than an ell of fried stockfish. And the first letter of my name begins with L.
Away to hell, to hell!
Now, Faustus, how dost thou like this?
Oh, this feeds my soul.
That, Faustus, in hell is all manner of delights.
Oh, might I see hell in return again. How happy were I then.
Thou shalt. I will send for thee at midnight. In meantime, take this book. Peruse it thoroughly, and thou shalt turn thyself into what shape thou wilt.
Thanks, mighty Lucifer. This will I keep as cherry as my life.
Farewell, Faustus, and think on the devil.
Farewell, great Lucifer. Come, Mephistopheles.
Learned Faustus, to know the secrets of astronomy, graven in the book of Jove's high firmament, did mount himself to scale Olympus' top, being seated in a chariot burning bright, drawn by the strength of Yoke Dragon's necks. Now is his fame spread forth in every land. Amongst the rest, the emperor is one, Carolus the Fifth, at whose palace now Faustus is feasted amongst his noblemen. What there he did in trial of his art, I leave untold. Your eyes shall see it perform.
Master Dr. Faustus, I have heard strange report of thy knowledge in the black art. How that none in my empire nor in the world can compare with thee for the rare effects of magic. They say thou hast a familiar spirit by whom thou canst accomplish what thou list. This, therefore, is my request, that thou let me see some proof of thy skill, that mine eyes may be witnesses to confirm what mine ears have heard reported. And here I swear to thee, by the honor of mine imperial crown, that whatever thou doest, thou shalt be no wise prejudiced or endamaged.
Faith, he looks much like a conjurer.
My gracious sovereign, though I must confess myself far inferior to the report men have published, and nothing answerable to the honor of your imperial majesty, yet for that love and duty binds me thereunto, I am content to do whatsoever your majesty shall command.
Then, Dr. Faustus, mark what I shall say. As I was sometime solitary set within my closet, sundry thoughts arose about the honor of mine ancestors. Amongst which kinds is Alexander the Great. It grieves my soul I never saw the man. If, therefore, thou, by cunning of thine art, canst raise this man from hollow vaults below where lies entombed this famous conqueror, and bring with him his beauteous paramour, both in their right shapes, gesture and attire they used to wear during their time of life, thou shalt both satisfy my just desire and give me cause to praise thee whilst I live.
My gracious lord, I am ready to accomplish your request, so far forth as by art and power of my spirit I am able to perform.
Faith, that's just nothing at all.
But if it like your grace, it is not in my ability to present before your eyes the true substantial bodies of those two deceased princes, which long since are consumed to dust.
I marry, Master Doctor. Now there's a sign of grace in you when you will confess the truth.
But such spirits as can lively resemble Alexander and his paramour shall appear before your grace in that manner that they both lived in their most flourishing estate, which I doubt not shall sufficiently content your imperial majesty.
Go to, Master Doctor. Let me see them presently.
You hear, Master Doctor? You bring Alexander and his paramour before the Emperor.
How then, sir?
If faith that's as true as Diana turned me to a stag.
No, sir. But when Actaeon died, he left the horns for you. Mephistopheles, be gone.
Nay, and you go to conjuring, I'll be gone.
I'll meet with you anon for interrupting me so. Here they are, my gracious lord.
Master Doctor, I heard this lady, while she lived, had a wart, a mole in her neck. How shall I know whether it be so or no?
Your Highness may boldly go and see.
Surely these are no spirits, but the true substantial bodies of those two deceased princes.
Will it please your Highness now to send for the knight that was so pleasant with me here of late?
One of you call him forth. How now, Sir Knight? Why, I had thought thou hadst been a bachelor, but now I see thou hast a wife that not only gives thee horns, but makes thee wear them. Feel on thy head.
Thou damned wretch, inexorable dog, bred in the conclave of some monstrous rock, how darest thou thus abuse a gentleman? Villain, I say, undo what thou hast done.
Oh, not so fast, sir. There's no haste. But good, are you remembered how you crossed me in my conference with the Emperor? I think I've met with you for it.
Good Master Doctor, at my entreaty, release him. He hath done penance sufficient.
The gracious lord, not so much for the injury he offered me here in your presence, as to delight you with some mirth, hath Faustus worthily requited this injurious knight, which being all I desire, I am content to release him of his horns. And, Sir Knight, hereafter speak well of scholars. Mephistopheles, transform him straight. Now, my good lord, having done my duty, I humbly take my leave.
Farewell, Master Doctor. Yet ere you go, expect from me a bounteous reward.
Ah, Now, Mephistopheles, the restless course that time doth run with calm and silent foot, shortening my days and thread of vital life, calls for the payment of my latest years. Therefore, sweet Mephistopheles, let us make haste to Wurttemberg.
What? Will you go on horseback or on foot?
Nay, till I'm past this fair and pleasant green, I'll walk on foot.
Lucky day. I've been all this day seeking one Master Fustian. Oh, Mars, see where he is. God save you, Master Doctor.
What, horse courser? You're well met.
You here, sir? I've brought you $40 for your horse.
Oh, I cannot sell him so. If thou likest him for 50, take him.
Oh, alas, sir, I have no more. I pray you speak for me.
I pray you let him have him. He is an honest fellow and he has a great charge. Neither wife nor child.
Well, come, give me your money. My boy will deliver him to you. But I must tell you one thing before you have him. Ride him not into the water at any hand.
Oh, why, sir? Will he not drink of all waters?
Oh, yes, he will drink of all waters. But ride him not into the water. Ride him over hedge or ditch or where thou wilt, but not into the water.
Oh. Well, sir, now I am made man forever. I'll not leave my horse for 40. If he had but the quality of a ding ding, I'd make a brave living on him. He has buttock as slick as a needle. Well, God be with you, sir.
Where are you, villain? Oh, what art thou, Faustus, but a man condemned to die? Thy fatal time doth draw to final end. Despair doth drive distrust into my thoughts. Confound these passions with a quiet sleep. Thus Christ did call the thief upon the cross. Then rest thee, Faustus, quiet in conceit.
Oh, alas, alas, Dr. Faustus, quoth I. Mass, Dr. Lopest was never such a doctor. Has given me purgation, has purged me of $40. I shall never see them more. But yet, like an ass as I was, I would not be ruled by him. For he bade me I should ride him into no water. Now I, thinking my horse had had some rare quality that he would not have had me know of, I, like venturesome youth, ride him into the deep pond at Townsend. I was no sooner in middle of pond, but me horse vanished away, and I sat upon a bottle of hay, never so near drowning in me life. But I'll seek out my doctor and have my $40 again, or I'll make it the dearest horse. Ah, yonder's the snippersnapper. Hi, dear. Hi, you. Hi, Foss. Where's your master?
Why, sir, what would you? You cannot speak with him.
But I will speak with him.
Why, he's the master's come some other time.
I'll speak with him now, or I'll break his glass windows about his ears.
I tell thee, he has not slept these 8 nights.
And he had not slept these 8 weeks. I'll speak with him.
See where he is. Fast asleep.
Ah, this is he. God save you, Master Doctor, Master Doctor, Master Doctor Fustian. $40, $40 for a bottle of hay.
Why, thou seest, he hears thee not.
So, ho. No, will you not wake? I'll make you wake. Here I go. Here, give us all of your leg there now. Here. He's come away in me hand. His leg. Oh, last time I'm undone. What'll I do?
Oh, my leg. Help, Mephistopheles. Oh, call the officers. My leg.
Come, villain, to the constable.
Oh, Lord, sir, let me go now. I'll give you $40 more. That I will. I give you.
Where be they?
I have none about me. Come to me, Ossie, and I'll give him to you. I will.
Gone!
Quickly!
What? Is he gone? Farewell, he. Faustus has his leg again, and the horse courser, I take it, a bottle of hay for his labor. Well, this trick shall cost him $40 more. How now, Wagner? What's the news with thee?
Sir, the Duke of Van Holt hath earnestly entreated your company.
The Duke of Van Holt? An honorable gentleman to whom I must be no niggard of my cunning. Come, Mephistopheles. Let's away to him.
Believe me, Master Doctor, this merriment hath much pleased me.
My gracious lord, I'm glad it contents you so well. But it may be, madam, you take no delight in this. I have heard that great-bellied women do long for some dainties or other. What is it, madam? Tell me, and you shall have it.
Thanks, good Master Doctor. And for I see your courteous intent to pleasure me, I will not hide from you the thing my heart desires. And were it now summer, as it is January and the dead time of the winter, I would desire no better meat than a dish of ripe grape.
Alas, madam, that's nothing. Mephistopheles, be gone. Were it a greater thing than this, so it would content you, you should have it. Here they be, madam. Will please you taste on them.
Believe me, Master Doctor, this makes me wonder above the rest, that being in the dead of winter and in the month of January, how you should come by these grapes.
If it like your grace, by means of a swift spirit that I have, I had them brought hither. As you see, how do you like them, madam? Be they good?
Believe me, Master Doctor, they be the best grapes that e'er I tasted in my life before.
I'm glad they content you so, madam.
Come, madam, let us in, where we must well reward this learned man for the great kindness he hath showed to you.
So I will, my lord, and whilst I live, rest beholding for this courtesy.
I humbly thank your grace.
Come, Master Doctor, follow us and receive your reward.
I think my master means to die shortly, for he hath given to me all his goods. And yet, methinks, if that death were near, he would not banquet and carouse and swill among the students as even now he doth, for at supper with such belly cheer as Wagner never beheld in all his life. See where they come. Belike the feast is ended.
Come, let us depart. Happy and blessed be Faustus evermore.
Gentlemen, farewell. The same I wish to you.
Ah, Dr. Faustus, that I might prevail to guide thy steps unto the way of life, by which sweet path thou mayst attain the goal that shall conduct thee to celestial rest. Break heart, drop blood, and mingle it with tears, tears falling from repentant heaviness of thy most vile and loathsome filthiness. The stench whereof corrupts the inward soul with such flagitious crimes of a heinous sin as no commiseration may expel, but mercy, Faustus, of thy Savior sweet, whose blood alone must wash away thy guilt.
Where art thou, Faustus? Wretch, what hast thou done? Damned art thou, Faustus, damned. Despair and die. Hell calls for right, and with a roaring voice says, Faustus, come. Thine hour is almost come. And Faustus now will come to do thee right.
Oh, stay, good Faustus. Stay thy desperate steps. I see an angel hovers o'er thy head, and with a vial full of precious grace, offers to pour the same into thy soul. Then call for mercy, and avoid despair.
Oh, sweet friend, I feel thy words to comfort my distressed soul. Leave me a while to ponder on my sin.
I go, sweet Faustus, but with heavy cheer, fearing the ruin of thy hopeless soul.
Accursed Faustus, where is mercy now? I do repent, and yet I do despair. Hell strives grace for conquest in my breast. What shall I do to shun the snares of death?
Thou traitor, Faustus! I arrest thy soul for disobedience to my sovereign lord. Revolt, or I'll in piecemeal tear thy flesh!
Sweet Mephistopheles, entreat thy lord to pardon my unjust presumption. And with my blood again I will confirm my former vow I made to Lucifer.
Do it then quickly with unfeigned heart, lest greater danger do attend thy drift.
Torment, sweet friend, that base and crooked age that durst dissuade me from my Lucifer with greatest torments that our hell affords.
His faith is great. I cannot touch his soul. But I may afflict his body with our attempt, which is but little worth.
One thing, good servant, let me crave of thee, to glut the longing of my heart's desire, that I might have unto my paramour that lovely Helen which I saw of late, whose sweet embracings may extinguish clean those thoughts that do dissuade me from my vow, and keep mine oath I made to Lucifer.
Faustus, this, and what else thou shalt desire, shall be performed in twinkling thy eye.
Was this the face that launched a thousand ships and burnt the topless towers of Ilium? Sweet Helen,
Make me immortal with a kiss. Her lips suck forth my soul. See where it flies. Come, Helen. Come, give me my soul again. Where will I dwell? For heaven is in these lips, and all is dross that is not Helen. I will be Paris, and for love of thee, instead of Troy, shall Wurttemberg be sacked. And I will combat with weak Menelaus, and wear thy colors on my plumed crest. Yea, I will wound Achilles in the heel, and then return to Helen for a kiss. Oh, thou art fairer than the evening air, clad in the beauty of a thousand stars. Brighter art thou than flaming Jupiter when he appeared to hapless Semele. More lovely than the monarch of the sky in wanton Arethusa's azured arms. And none but thou shalt be my paramour.
Accursed Faustus, miserable man, but from thy soul excludes the grace of heaven and flies the throne of his tribunal seat. Satan begins to sift me with his pride. As in this furnace, God shall try my faith. My faith, vile hell, shall triumph over thee. Ambitious fiends, see how the heavens smile at your repulse and laugh your state to scorn. Hence, hell, for hence I fly unto my God.
Gentlemen.
What ails Faustus?
Ah, my sweet chamberfellow, had I lived with thee, then had I lived still. But now I die eternally. Look, comes he not? Comes he not?
What means, Faustus?
Like he's grown into some sickness by being over solitary.
If it be so, we'll have physicians to cure him. 'Tis but a surfeit, never fear, man.
A surfeit of deadly sin that hath damned both body and soul.
But Faustus, look up to heaven. Remember, God's mercies are infinite.
But Faustus's offense can ne'er be pardoned. The serpent that tempted Eve may be saved, but not Faustus. Ah, gentlemen, hear me with patience and tremble not at my speeches. Though my heart pants and quivers to remember that I have been a student here these 30 years. Oh, would I had never seen Wurttemberg, never read book. And what wonders I have done all Germany can witness, yea, all the world, for which Faustus hath lost both Germany and the world, yea, heaven itself, heaven the seat of God, the throne of the blessed, the kingdom of joy, and must remain in hell forever. Hell. Ah, hell forever. Sweet friend, what shall become of Faustus being in hell forever?
Yet, Faustus, call on God.
On God whom Faustus hath adjured? On God whom Faustus hath blasphemed? Ah, my God, I would weep, but the devil draws in my tears. Gush forth blood instead of tears. Yea, life and soul. Oh, he stays my tongue. I would lift up my hands, but see, they hold them. They hold them.
Ooh,
Lucifer and Mephistopheles. Ah, gentlemen, I gave them my soul for my cunning.
God
forbid it indeed. But Faustus hath done it. For vain pleasure of 24 years hath Faustus lost eternal joy and felicity. I writ them a bill with mine own blood. The date is expired. The time will come, and he will fetch me.
Why did not Faustus tell us of this before? The divines might have prayed for thee.
Oft have I thought to have done so. But the devil threatened to tear me in pieces if I named God, to fetch both body and soul if I once gave ear to divinity. And now it is too late. Gentlemen, away, lest you perish with me.
Oh, what should we do to save Faustus?
Talk not of me, but save yourselves and depart.
God will strengthen me. I will stay with Faustus.
Tempt not God, sweet friend, but let us into the next room and there pray for him.
Aye, pray for me. Pray for me, and what noise soever ye hear, come not unto me, for nothing can rescue me.
Pray thou, and we will pray, that God may have mercy upon thee.
Gentlemen, farewell. If I live till morning, I'll visit you. If not, Faustus is gone to hell.
Faustus, farewell.
Farewell. Ah, Faustus, now hast thou but one bare hour to live, and then thou must be damned perpetually.
Stand still, you ever-moving spheres of heaven, that time may cease and midnight never come. Fair nature's eye, rise, rise again and make perpetual day. Or let this hour be but a year, a month, a week, a natural day, that Faustus may repent and save his soul. Oh, lente, lente, curate noctis equi. The stars move still. Time runs, the clock will strike. The devil will come and Faustus must be damned. I'll leap up to my God. Who pulls me down? See, see where Christ's blood streams in the firmament. One drop would save my soul. Half a drop. Oh, my Christ. Oh, rend not my heart, for naming of my Christ, yet will I call on him. Oh, spare me, Lucifer. Where is it now? It is gone. And see where God stretcheth out his arm and bends his ireful brows. Mountains and hills, come, come and fall on me, and hide me from the heavy wrath of God. No, no, then will I run headlong into the earth. Earth's gate. Oh, no, it will not harbor me. You stars that reigned at my nativity, whose influence hath allotted death and hell, now draw Faustus like a foggy mist into the entrails of yon laboring clouds, that when you vomit forth into the air, my limbs may issue from your smoky mouth, so that my soul may but ascend to heaven. Oh, half the hour is past. It will all be past anon. Oh, God, if thou wilt not have mercy on my soul, yet for Christ's sake, whose blood hath ransomed me, impose some end to my incessant pain. Oh, no end is limited to damned souls. Why wert thou not a creature wanting so? Or why is this immortal that thou hast? Ah, Pythagoras' metempsychosis, were that true, this soul should fly from me and I'd be changed into some brutish beast. All beasts are happy, for when they die, their souls are soon dissolved in elements. But mine must live still to be plagued in hell. Cursed be the parents that engendered me! Oh, Faustus, curse thyself. Curse Lucifer that hath deprived thee of the joys of heaven. It strikes. It strikes. Now body turn to air, or Lucifer will bear thee quick to hell. Soul be changed into little water drops and fall into the ocean ne'er be found. My God, look not so fierce on me. Adders and serpents, let me breathe a while. Ugly hell, gape not. Come not, Lucifer, I'll burn my book. Ah,
Mephistopheles! Cast for Dr. Faustus included Faustus, played by Carl Benton Reed, and Mephistopheles, played by Charles Webster. The chorus, William Thornton. The commentator this afternoon was Mr. Burns Mantle, American drama critic. The tragical history of Dr. Faustus was adapted and directed by James Church. The music was especially arranged for the play and conducted by Joseph Haunty. The Great Play Series is an educational feature of the National Broadcasting Company and is under the supervision of Blevins Davis. Next week at this time, A Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare will be presented. A study manual, part one, giving complete background material for the great plays, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 10 cents. Send coin or money orders to the National Broadcasting Company in care of Great Plays, Radio City, New York. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of the series. Dr. Faustus was a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.